There are several members of the jury who want to make comments or ask questions. On the other hand, we interrupted the witness with the promise that she could finish. I ask you now, considering that, would you be willing to wait? If not, please raise your hand again and I will recognize you now.
Well, I would like to comment to the comment made by that man that came here. I don't know the name. So if I may just comment now before we continue. Well, I disagree with that comment. It's not a matter of sadists, good people, bad people. If it would have been the problem, I think it would have been easier. Because if it's only individuals that are bad people, evil people, then okay, we have to treat them, we have to take them into court or maybe to put them in prison or whatever. The biggest problem is that people in this structured situation do behave as they behave. And it can be either one of us here, any one of us that is working, functioning within this structured situation, we become the same person. It's not the right word, but we are functioning as it is basically expected of us. Otherwise, we are not going to stay in the system.
Dr. Vert.
Just so that you understand that this coin has several sides. In the United States, one of the primary functions of psychiatry is exculpatory. And I don't think that we should talk about the legal system without at least discussing that. You have endless diversionary programs. You have endless mitigation of sentences. You have terrible people who are not serving their time because of this exculpatory function of psychiatry in America.
Now, with the jury's permission, we will let the witness briefly finish her statement. Please.
Naturally, for me, it's a little bit difficult. I had a sort of clear concept and a clear structure to my statements, but I'm going to try and get back into where I was. So I would like to add on to the question of what could the motivation be? Or there was the word sadism that we heard. Perhaps as an explanation of the way the doctors proceed. I don't want to explain anything here. I would just like to present something. A patient on my initiative wrote my a path of suffering in psychiatry. He started in 1981 with a report by Dr. Inabig, who wrote a report about me without having ever had having a conversation with me, just based on my files. I was strongly alcohol dependent at this time and committed a number of crimes under this because of this. I tried to have a long-term therapy for this, but I never managed to get one, even though one of the social workers was trying to get one for me. In 1982, I had an appointment in Flensburg, and Dr. Ingeborg said to the judge at this time, "You have to imagine him as this man, as a nut without a core. He has to go. He just has to go." And this was something he said verbally. And I am now committed to this forensic psychiatry in Neuland. No one wants to know anything about this anymore now. They're all denying it. Isn't it funny that a normal person can become an imbecile, but an imbecile can never become normal? I was completely isolated for 90 days here. I wasn't allowed to write anything, wasn't allowed to read the paper, use the telephone, smoke, not allowed to speak to any of my co-patients. I spent my hour outside alone. Then all of my windows were shut so that I couldn't speak to anyone. The heating was turned on, and this for weeks and weeks and weeks until my circulation collapsed. I finally came to myself again when somebody saw me that I was lying on the floor like that. I was given an injection, and then I returned to myself. I had consciousness again. I wasn't allowed any phone calls. Visitors and letters were not given to me. In this 90 days, I went through hell. I didn't have a bed. I lay on the floor with a mat and two blankets, and they were 1 meter 30 and 80 centimeters wide. Also against, there were charges pressed against myself and my mother by Dr. Wienecker and Dr. Diestel, who has since died, and they who claimed that we wanted to raise a criminal here. This is the full truth. My mother was so upset by this that these lies from the directors led to her having a heart attack, and which she died from. I charged these doctors that they had my mother's death on their hands, and I was told that the doctors had no guilt whatsoever. The charges that were pressed against us were dropped for no apparent reason, as if nothing had happened at all. Then my client told me that he spoke to this Dr. Wienecker and accused him of this and said he was to blame for the death of his mother. And then Dr. Wienecker said, if you say this one more time, then I'm going to give you a diagnosis. I asked my client how he explained the way the doctors treated him, and he said they wanted to break me. Now, this is a man who is very clear and expresses his opinions in very strong terms, in no uncertain terms, and therefore he has always been a thorn in the eye of the doctors. I am someone who, when I am treated unjustly, I tell the person what I think of them, and they can't stand that here. They have their own machinations. The doctors write lie reports to the courts, and then you have to stay there for a few years longer. Should have been moved 2 years ago to an open clinic. I was supposed to be moved there several times. Then Dr. Schneider came to me and said, what did you do? You wanted to force two patients to write about this ward? Otherwise you were going to beat them up? This isn't true, I said to him. But he said they were afraid of me, afraid of you, and that's why they turned to me. Then I left because I just couldn't stand this kind of lies. I didn't want to hear it any longer. A few weeks later, I spoke to Dr. Schneider about this again, and he said to me, they didn't say that to me. They complained to Dr. Wienecker, and at the next visit, I spoke to him again, and he said to me, who knows if that's even true? So this is how you have constant lies, and there's psychoterror that they're doing with people who have their own opinions here. It's deadly. Dr. Dubba, who's now the head doctor, proceeds. I don't need to read you the details here, perhaps. The doctors should use their intelligence to help people, but they don't. For this reason, these are intelligence criminals. Dr. Wienecker is someone I pressed charges against in 1992-93 because he embezzled letters. And there I landed right away back in the padded cell. I wrote every letter twice because I was bored. And the public prosecutor wrote me an open letter at that time in which it said that the case against an anonymous person were dropped. Even though it wasn't an anonymous person, I had named his name. So they worked together with the penal execution chamber of Lübeck. Twice now, I've not been allowed to go for a walk in the city because suddenly there have been some crimes, serious major crimes that can be expected of me. I'm not allowed to walk around in the grounds. No, I am allowed to walk in the grounds, but that's it. Since the 11th of August, I've been allowed to go out on my own, and I haven't done anything. I haven't even drunk alcohol. It's complete arbitrariness. I feel we are completely at the mercy of these doctors. Please help us. You are our last hope. Thank you very much, Egon Ditkon. So again, this is the voice of one of my clients. But Mr. Reinhard Bode, I would like to say we talked about him a little bit. He had worked in Hamburg already in 1997. His temporary contract ended in Hamburg to the 31st of January. He had passed this fact on to the Itzehoe court, and it was in the minutes. But at the same time, in January, he had holiday one more time from the clinic and wanted to use this holiday that went into February to look for a new job and to look for some kind of accompanying therapy in Hamburg in order to hope, in the hope that he would be released under these conditions. On the 4th of February, he rang the clinic and said that his job was finished, and they immediately called him straight back and made very terrible complaints to him, saying that he wasn't telling the truth, that he wasn't, that he couldn't work in a trustworthy way with the doctors, and that he, and they changed his whole leave regulation, put him back into a closed penitentiary, and then put him in a semi-open penitentiary again, but no longer allowed him the opportunity to go to Hamburg or to look for work again. And then he was allowed to have a few little trips to Lübeck to his fiancée, and then he, in summer '98, he took some alcohol back for some patients who had asked him to do that, took money for it, and was then put straight back into the closed penitentiary for a whole year. Once that year was over, they put him back in a semi-open penitentiary again, and he was allowed to go out. And there was a very rich patient who was a millionaire, but a little bit slow, and he wanted to buy my client's old typewriter. Now, you have to imagine, these people have 160 marks pocket money, and if they work, they get about 2 marks a day, and they get another 60 marks on top of their pocket money. And then this rich patient said, oh, come on, give me your old typewriter here. You can have 500 marks. And he couldn't resist the temptation and completed this transaction, even though the house rules forbid that patients enter into this kind of transaction among themselves. This was seen as a exploiting a weaker person and proof of a dissocial basic attitude. His personal identity card and his bank cards, about a conto that was in minus anyway. It was just the same as the lighter that we heard before and the penknife. And so he was told that because of this, he was planning to leave and trying to escape, and he was put back into a closed penitentiary in 99, and he's been in there ever since. I have asked again to a court that he be put back into a semi-open penitentiary, but they said again that he was not telling the truth, alcohol on the ward, and doing deals with people, that these were symptoms of a serious dissocial personality disorder, and so the man is so dangerous that if he was now put into the semi-open area, that means that he could occasionally walk, go in the grounds and occasionally go out into the city. The fear is that he would commit such serious crimes that he might even have to be in full-time, i.e. murder, for life. You heard Mr. Berda. I used his language again. Then you get an impression of this very mature, intelligent, artistic man who is kept incarcerated in a closed penitentiary for this reason. So that's Mr. Berda, Wilfried Sabasch, at age 16, was committed into a psychiatry hospital because he was supposedly an imbecile. He would have had, the crime that he committed would have left him with a year and a half in juvenile detention, perhaps. But in 1981, he escaped and committed another offense with the clear justification that he says again and again, I did it because I wanted a new court case. I had been in the clinic for 10 years, and I saw no progress, and I knew that my initial report, imbecility, was wrong, and I wanted to have a new expert report. And he got a new expert report.
last case that you were?
Yeah. Das ist der letzte Fall, richtig.
Dankeschön.
Yes, this is the last case. But he had no success because the next expert report, he probably didn't want to say, you know, annoy his colleague, said he was an imbecile again, and Mr. Zabach stayed in the clinic. He was allowed a few more privileges, and in 1987 he was due for release. In 1986, in the basement of a building in this clinic, a nurse was attacked. Mr. Zabach, when I met him, said to me right away, I had nothing to do with this, and all the same, they've locked me up for it. And he told me that Dr. Diester, whose name you will have heard earlier on, confirmed to him that the doctors had written a story in his medical papers blaming him for this, but he, Mr. Zabach, was not allowed to tell anyone about this, and he had to keep complete silence about it. I saw his medical history, and it really is the case that this nurse was hit in the face by someone. She didn't see who did it. And the doctor told Mr. Zabach, who was in the semi-open, and they suspected him simply because they didn't have anyone. It says, in the face of a lack of any plausible alternative, the nurse didn't see anyone and didn't, there were no witnesses. The doctor wrote a whole story, completely fiction, about how Mr. Zabach attacked this nurse. And since then, that was November 86, he has been in a closed penitentiary, and he will be kept there with this diagnosis of abnormal personality development and imbecility. And what explanation the doctor, whatever the explanation the doctors may give, I don't know what it is, but I think that it is really the epitome of a violation of human rights. There was an investigation against Mr. Zabach, a criminal investigation, which was dropped. The charges were dropped here. Nonetheless, the doctors insist that this is the case, and they told this journalist from Stern magazine, but if we have this suspicion, then what are we supposed to do? We can't help it. Good, right. So I have to say, this was the thing where I really thought, this has to be said.
That you should go through these cases as a representative of a large number of people, and thank you very much for having brought their cases to us. Your friend and colleague, I guess, Mr. Sachenbrecher, will have just a few minutes in a minute. I need to ask Esther Herzog, whom I asked to wait before. Is your question or comment still important?
Well, I've made my comment.
Okay, I'm sorry. Is there someone whom I have? No, okay. Then we have a short statement from you, Mr. Zachenbrecher, please.